want to take a little bit more time, just about 2 minutes more, to honor those people in our lives that sacrificed for our freedom. And so would everybody stand? And there's a second video, and it's simply to the music of Taps, and it has a man who's quoting some of the most famous quotes from presidents and people of great respect about our veterans that have died and those that have laid their life down. So would you stand with me this morning? And you might be next to somebody who served. I know George is someone who I've golfed with and who I love, but George has been down experiences that I've never experienced. And some of those things I know he doesn't even want to talk about because those things are painful. But the sacrifice that his friends have made, that he's made, and many that are just like George and those that have served, and they need to be honored. And we need to remember how much our freedom has cost. So turn your attention to these wonderful quotes. And if you're near one of these veterans who have served, would you just go and use them in proxy? Put your hand on their shoulder, and I want you to be thinking about what it is that we're reading and hearing, and I want you to just be praying a blessing over them. So if you're near someone who served, if you have served, would you raise your hand just so that people know? There's people in the back, John's in the back, there's different ones, and just go around them, and let's just love on them and pray for them and the family and friends that many of us have been impacted. And let's go ahead and play this second video.
Today, we honor the men and women who have died in service to our country. Our debt to the heroic men and valiant women in the service of our country can never be repaid. They have earned our undying gratitude. America will never forget their sacrifices. For love of country, they accepted death. And they who for their country die shall fill an honored grave. For glory lights the soldier's tomb, and beauty weeps the brave. It is foolish and wrong to mourn the men who die. Rather, we should thank God that such men lived. God bless the families of these men and women, and God bless America.
Praise God. Amen. Well, give each other a hug and just welcome each other on a beautiful Memorial Weekend service in a day, and let's flip on some lights and let's get this party going to the next level. Amen. Kids, you is dismissed to your classes. I hope you have a crazy fun time, and please try not to drive the teacher nuts. They're halfway there already, so, you know. Oh, man, it is good to be in church, isn't it? It really is. So I see tears and sweetness in the room. It is so sweet to remember the sacrifice of those that laid down their lives so that we could be here this morning to worship and to praise God freely. And it's something that I don't take lightly, and none of us should. And so it's really, really good. Well, this morning I'm going to have you turn to a book in the Bible that you probably don't always turn to, Zechariah. Yeah. If you know the end of the Old Testament, just before you get to the end, there's another little book right there. Just go to that one right there, Zechariah. Turn to Zechariah, and we're going to start in Zechariah, and we're going to start at... I forget that they're on my heads. No, on my heads. I don't have multiple heads. This is everyone. I forget they're on my head. We're going to turn to Zechariah chapter 4. And before we get into this, I want to just talk about what it is that we're doing right now. There are a few books already available. They may even be gone already for The Power of Blessing. And if you're not aware of what we're doing as a church, right now we're going through kind of a partnered study. There's a complimentary book to this sermon series called The Power of Blessing by Pastor Kerry Kirkwood. And he's in Texas, and he's a great man of God. My hope is that we can get him in this fall, and he can deliver some of the things that the Lord's put on his heart to us as a congregation this fall. And hopefully that will come together, Lord willing. But the Lord had really been stirring my heart about blessing, and specifically about the things that we speak, the things that we think about, the things that we do, and who we are as individuals. And then this book that Kerry had written really put some phrases and terms together, and it was very encouraging for me. So I just thought, man, let's all as a church go through this. It's a great study. And so last week we started this. And last week's message, we didn't get it recorded. We had some problems with that. But just to summarize that, out of the book of 1 Peter, we highlighted a scripture verse. Correct me if I'm wrong. What one is that? It's 1 Peter 3, 8, and 9. Is that correct from last week? I don't even remember now. I'm the preacher, and I preached it. That's what it was, 3, 8, and 9. Yeah. Oh, we talked about that a couple days after. And in that little chunk of scripture, it says that you and I, as Christians, have been designed by God to inherit a blessing. That's why you were created. God didn't create you so that you'd be destroyed or be miserable. He created you so that you could enjoy eternity with Him. Now, it's a reality that you are His kid. When you're born again, you're His kid, right? That's the truth about who you are. Now, a lot of us don't really believe that about ourselves. We believe it in part, maybe, but we don't really understand it fully. It's a big idea. But the more we understand it, the more it begins to shape the way we act and behave right now. So that's why I used the illustration of Princess Diaries last week. Do you remember that? Princess Diaries, a girl who found out she was royalty, and the comedy is in the fact that she didn't know how to behave as royalty. So people laughed and giggled when she didn't know how to eat or how to act or conduct herself in a party or any of those settings. And so she had to learn. And you know what? You and I have to learn how to be a blessing and not a curse to those around us. And there is no limit to that. You and I are designed by God to inherit a blessing. And that means in this life, we've got to act like blessers. You've got to be a blessing everywhere you go. And you are the reason this city can be blessed. You're the reason your family can be blessed. You're the reason, and that's so powerful. But this week, where I'm going to kind of shift the focus and begin to emphasize what it is that we need to learn today is not just the purpose of being blessed. What do we do now with that prophetic destiny? Just knowing you are designed by God to be blessed and to be a blessing to others, that's the prophetic destiny. That's the book and the story that's been written for your life. But now, what do we do with that? Before we read Zechariah, I want to read a quote out of The Power of Blessing. Kerry Kirkwood says it this way. He says, knowing God's destiny for your life does not mean that you will automatically fulfill it. Just knowing God's will for your life doesn't mean you will automatically fulfill it and walk it out. Uh-oh. He goes on to say, even in the realm of personal prophecy, God gives you some specific direction and a goal to shoot at. Here, this is what I want you to go for in life. And it's almost like a spiritual prophecy, a big bullseye. That's what I want for you. Even in the realm of personal prophecy, he says, it does not come with a guarantee in this way that you are not culpable or responsible for something. You have a responsibility, and here's your responsibility, to follow God's plan.
So if God's written a story and he's got a goal for you, you can't just go, hey, that's what it is. Well, let it be. No, now he says, that's your promise, that's your destiny, that's your goal. Now I want you to follow me to that point, to that place. So then that's the message today. How do you and I start partnering with God so that we really can see the powerful blessing of God in our lives? I believe this is so good to chew on and to take home. It'll be almost as good as the barbecue that you have later on this weekend. But it's so powerful. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to read. Heavenly Father, I come to you because I truly believe we need your words today. Come and speak to our hearts about blessing and about partnering with you on blessing. Lord, we know, many of us in this room know the destiny and the plans that you have for us. We know them in general and maybe even in specific. We know them, but we're hindered. And we just feel like we're not getting there yet. So, Father God, I pray for an anointing to break through. I pray for you to do something in the hearts of every person in this room, that we would partner with you to see something miraculous done in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so here's what we are going to turn to. Zechariah chapter 4. And in this section of the Bible, there's a prophecy that's coming forth, and it's really to encourage and to remind people of the story God has for the people of Israel. So you can put yourself right in the same category as the children of Israel. God's got a story for the children of Israel. He's got a story for you. The prophet came back to say what God has already said. So prophecy, in essence, is just declaring what God's already declared, right? We're parrots. So when Troy speaks a prophetic word, he should only be parroting what God's already said. Prophecy is only true when it's parroting what God has said. It's not true if it's just making up stuff. That's not it. That might be encouraging. That's more like fortune cookies. And I like cookies, but I just don't believe in fortune cookie power. So this is so good for us to focus on what God is saying. And so here's the first reality that God is saying about partnering with this blessing. In Zechariah chapter 4, we're going to read at, we'll start at verse 6. Verse 6, he says, "Then he answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord.'" This is the word of the Lord coming through the prophet to Zerubbabel, saying, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." That name, the Lord of hosts, means that guy who's in charge of all of the mighty forces of heaven. Think about this. Your destiny is only going to be achieved if you have power on your side. Some of the things that God's called you and I to do in this life to be a blessing to this world are not going to be accomplished just because you're smart enough or good-looking enough or talented enough or any of those, or you have the right connections or the right whatevers. The real thing we've got to know is it's not in you to accomplish what God's called you to accomplish. You're simply the clay vessel that God wants to pour into, that then you can pour out and refresh those around you in the world that he's called you to be a refreshing to. So you and I, if we're going to be successful, you can't fight the fight by yourself. Now, I don't know about you, but have any of you ever tried to do things on your own just because of your pride and arrogance? Me? I have done that. All men everywhere probably struggle with this, getting from one place to another in a vehicle in a foreign city. You may never have been there before, but you know where you're going. And even though your wife tells you you should stop and ask for directions again, you go, "No, I know where we're going. It's just taking us longer to get there, and we're doing some sightseeing in the meantime." You know, we just don't want to ask for directions. But there's more things in life that we just fail to ask God for, and it causes anxiety, doesn't it? I believe this is why God says, just in our devotional life, if you're going through something that you need a breakthrough, maybe you're struggling in finances or you just don't have wisdom in an area, God, in essence, is saying you can't do life all by yourself. So in those moments of stress and anxiety, you don't know what to do with the kids. You don't know what to do with next steps in the household. You don't know what to do with whatever it is, a relationship, school. Well, don't be anxious about that. Hit the ground. Go to prayer support. It's like calling in the artillery. It's what it is. God, come, mayday, mayday. I'm down here all by myself. And he's like, I know. I was wondering when you're going to realize you're trying to do this all on your own again. Call in some support. Please come in. Support. And then God comes in like a flood, and it's amazing how he brings relief and peace and direction. So instead of focusing on the problem and trying to work it out on your own, and the anxiety is rising, like the song, I Can Feel the Temperature. Oh, no, it's not the right song to apply to that, but you can feel the tension. Oh, pressure. That's the song. Pressure coming down. Never mind. I'm totally distracted. And instead of trying to figure it out on your own, you have got to stop and just seek God and let God do something miraculous. So that's the first thing. And so hopefully this week, as you begin to chew this message over in your heart and your mind, if you're in any of the areas of your life coming up against a wall of stress and anxiety because things just aren't working out, well, it's probably because you're trying to do it on your own strength. So let's go back to the roadmap of partnering with God in achieving blessing in the things he's written for your life, and let's start partnering with the Spirit of God. Now, here's the next thing I want to say about the Spirit of God. It's amazing to me that when we're walking with the Spirit, who isn't an impersonal God, he is very personal, we can grieve him and upset him and feel a degree of separation from the Holy Spirit. And if we're in the midst of a battle that the only hope for success is by the Spirit and the power of God, if you're grieving the presence and the Spirit of God, you might come face to face with a major failure. And it's not because God doesn't love you anymore. It's just because you have not been fighting according to the plan. You've not been partnering with God. And so you've got to partner with God and walk in step with the Spirit. Now, here's some of the things that grieve God's Spirit. In essence, I'm going to sum up a whole message by saying this. Think of the Holy Spirit as a personal being, not an impersonal being. And in a love relationship, it's amazing. Petrea and I, after so many years of being married together, I can tell her before she tells me if she's upset about something. And she might not have done anything for it, but I will take it a split second. I go, you didn't like that, did you? Are you okay? What's going on? Tell me it. I know it now. And she'll go, how you know? Oh, you just know. And I know it. Something's not right. Unsettled. Why? Because I have spent a lot of time with her, and I know the nuance of her expressions, her tone, her face, all that stuff. I just know it. I don't even have to think. I don't have to dance by looking at the floor and knowing where to dance. I just feel the music. I know. And that's the way it's got to be with you and the Holy Spirit. When God says through the New Testament to stay in step with the Holy Spirit, treat that relationship as an important relationship in your life. That means you can't neglect the Holy Spirit. Spend time with God. Get to know God more. Pray in the Spirit. Spend time filling your heart with the Word. All those things. These are important things. And there's other things that make the Spirit of God happy. You know, when we were reading those scriptures this morning and it was talking about shouting and praising and clapping and all of those, one of those scriptures says that when you shout and you praise, God delights in it. See, sometimes I believe God's Spirit is grieved in our lives simply because we're not praising him enough. We're not celebrating him enough. And that's really crummy in any relationship if you're waiting for someone to make you happy before you somehow be nice to them. And I believe God says, come on, celebrate me, praise me, rejoice in me. It delights my heart. It actually makes the Spirit of God happy. And that's something good, because if you're fighting battles and you want blessing in your life, you want the Spirit of God to be with you, right? You want him to be with you. Now, blatant sin. That's probably one of the things that that grieves the heart of God more than anything. When you know something is against God's will, because the Bible says it's against God's will, and sum that one up, if you're just unloving to your fellow man in any way, through your speech, through your act or your conduct or any of those things, if you're not loving to your fellow man and if you're not loving God with all your heart, you're going to miss the mark. You're going to be sinning. And if you know you're doing that and at the same time asking God to fight with you and to partner with God, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. If you do experience victory, it's just proof that God's kindness and mercies is real. Because he loves us so much, even when we're idiots, he'll still bless us and still be gracious to us and not treat us as our sins deserve, Psalms 103 says. So God is really good. That doesn't mean you can continue to act like an idiot and he's okay with it. That's called the grace factor, right? Unmerited favor. So if you know you're doing something wrong, then do what the Bible says. Just simply confess it. Bring it into the light and say, you know what? I've been proud and arrogant in this area, and I've been refusing to change because I just feel like I can't or I don't want to. And if you're like that, then you just confess it and say, God, from this moment on, I will purpose in my heart to no longer feed that activity, feed that mindset, or whatever it is, and I refuse to walk down that path. I'm going to turn and go down a different path of acting. That's called repentance. And that's what restores a right spirit in us. Let that Holy Spirit wash us and get right. And then we're walking in step with the Holy Spirit. And I think that's powerful. You know what? As I'm sitting here talking, I'm asking myself, do you realize how powerful partnering with God is when it comes to being blessed? In nature, you know, God created nature. And in Romans, it says that, you know, there's a thing called general revelation in theology. General revelation is just basic revelation that comes through nature, that every single living person can look at God's creation and come back with some kind of proof positive that there is a God over it all. And if anybody were to look at a just general revelation and deny the existence of God, that's why the psalmist says they're a fool. They say in their heart, there is no God, they're a fool. Why? They can't even use their eyeballs and look at what is staring them right in the face, the proof of God all around us. And so, you know, when general revelation reveals something about God's character or the principles of God's kingdom, it's important to take note of it. So here's how powerful partnership is. God put it in nature. He put it in nature. Dumb animals who just live by instinct know how to partner in cooperation to do things that will bless their lives. And I think this is cool. I came across these. Here's a couple stories. There is a rhino who, well, rhino. Rhinos, in general, have really poor eyesight. I did not know this. But I guess if you have a big horn and you're that big, and who cares if you can't see? Just run over anything. Nothing's really going to stop you anyway, right? I mean, you're a rhino. You just like boom, and then, oh, I think I just ran over something. I didn't even see it. So they're blind in all real practicality, and they've learned to cooperate in this way. Their body is covered with a really fancy bug. This bug is kind of like a lice, and it's all over their body. Does it make you feel icky? And this particular bug is like dessert for a little baby birdie thing. So because it's dessert for a bird, this bird makes the rhino his best friend. And he sits on a rhino, and he eats all the delicious bugs all day long. And here's his special power. This bird has a special awareness of the predators or any, and I don't even know what could hurt a rhino. You know what I mean? It's like, what hurts a rhino? It's like, but he can alert the rhino to anything and everything. It's like the big muscle and then the little guy. and the little guy is there, and he'll tap him on the head, and he'll make a little noise to be like, danger, danger. And then the rhino's like, the dumb rhino that can't see. Oh, okay. And he just runs around. And I think this is phenomenal. There's a big guy and a little guy, and they're best friends. And so it's just so cool. That's in nature. It didn't stop there. There's a Spanish mountain range. And in this particular Spanish mountain range, there is a beautiful goat. And for the love of God, I have never imagined a beautiful goat. But evidently, there is a beautiful goat. And this beautiful goat is prized, and people want to hunt for it and shoot it, but it is so elusive that they didn't really understand why it was so difficult for a hunter to get into rifle range of this beautiful goat. Here's the reason. He partnered with a different kind of goat, a little goat. A young little goat, while they're young, a different breed of goat than they're young, they have incredible eyesight, and he literally is the watcher. So he's ugly, small, and weird. Nobody wants to shoot him, and he will be around the really pretty goat, and when he sees anybody, and this is as goofy as it gets, anybody, literally, you and me with a gun, the goat does what a good alarmist would do. And then the other pretty goat runs off. And so we as hunters will never really be successful because they've always got the lookout there. Now that's cooperation and partnership. I love this stuff. You know, in your life and in my life, if God has worked partnership and cooperation into nature, you and I can't deny that. That is something, it's a part of how he made us. You can't do life alone. You've got to partner. But today's message is about partnering with God. So please don't tune out this message on any level. About, all right, man, I've heard about the Spirit of God, not by power, not by, you know, it's by the Spirit of God. No. It's not everyday fare here. This isn't just a reserved meal from some other sermon. This is what God wants you to hear today. You can't partner with God unless you walk in step with the Holy Spirit. And then here's the next thing. Zechariah 4:7. Let's turn and keep reading in Zechariah 4. In Zechariah 4, we just get done by saying it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. In verse 7 it says, "What are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become a plain, and he will bring forth the top stone with shouts of grace, grace to it. What are you, O mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become a plain, and he will bring forth the top stone with shouts of grace, grace to it." Oh my goodness, this right here is so powerful, so powerful. What is the grace of God? The grace of God is this work in your heart, kind of like last week where he said you got to believe in your heart that you're destined for greatness because of who you are. God created you a certain way. Now, that favor that God shows you in your life to remake you as a child of God, if you believe that, faith is being fully persuaded of that, then there is nothing impossible for you as a child of God. Why? Because you're God's kid. He's got your back. If you're walking in step with him and partnering with his Spirit, nothing is going to be impossible for you to achieve. And God has a great plan for you. Now, here's what happens. This is the dynamic that I'm so excited to talk about today. When grace is sufficient for you, it is evident right here in your lips. Right here. The minute the grace and favor of God overtakes your heart, it spills out here. Here. You would think it does something else. No. It starts here. This is where the proof positive of faith takes place. And it's faith in God's blessing on your life that you know he is going to work all things together for your good because you fear him. You've made him the center of your life. And so what we see exhibited in Zerubbabel's life because of the prophetic word that's over him, he's looking at a pile of rubble. He's looking at a pile of rubble because of decades of slavery or being defeated and in bondage and all of these kinds of things. And because of sin, honestly, Israel was sinning and doing things where they left their first love with God. And many of us in our life, our hearts wander and there's seasons where we're chasing after a God. And then there's seasons where maybe you get cold in your walk with God. And maybe you don't read your Bible. You don't pray as often. You'd maybe stop attending churches or different things like that. But you know what? If you get cold and you've wandered from God and you're miserable, Don't stay far from God. Do what that nation of Israel did. Return to the Lord. And then that prophetic word comes forth and says, now, knowing and being convinced that God is not going to hold your past against you, I want you to do what only a person overwhelmed with faith and grace could do. I want you to speak to that pile of rubble. I want you to speak to that pile of rubble. So, King, I want you to stand up and I want you to look at that rubbish, the mess you've made in your life, or the mess that someone else made in your life that you have to deal with. And you know what is a pile of rubble? That represents the things that we try to avoid. No one makes a big boast about the rubble and the junk in their life. You know why I close my garage right now? Because it's ugly. I close out garages as quick and as often as I can because I don't want my neighbors to like come with pitchforks and torches to like, you know, run me out of town and then burn my garage down, you know, things like that. It's just miserable. I'm embarrassed as all get out of that thing. I made a mess of it, so I hide it. For some of you, it might just be your closets. For some of you, it might be, I don't know, your MP3 list of songs you listen to or your Netflix queue. It might be something else. It might be your friends at work, because whenever you're around your friends at work, you talk one way, and boy, I don't want Troy to ever come and meet my friends at work while I'm there. Then it'd be like the two worlds collide. Mayday, mayday. I'm embarrassed of that. That's rubble. Let's avoid it. See, that is exactly what Zerubbabel had to turn around and speak to, and what he spoke was what God was speaking over his life. It's not what he saw, but it was what he knew God was saying. So the word of God was different than the facts before him. The facts before him was it was a mess and it was a pile of junk and you should be embarrassed and you should be ashamed of it. It's just miserable. It's not even livable. But the word of God said, I'm going to bless you and restore back to you the temple, the walls, all this stuff, and you're going to be a nation that's thriving. But in order for that to happen, you got to walk in the Spirit. And then you got to turn and only like a man filled with grace and faith, speak to that pile of rubble and say what I've said about it. You ain't nothing but a pile of rubble. And God's going to move you and shake you and do whatever. And nothing's going to stand in the way of my God, because my God's bigger than that pile of rubble. Now, that pile of rubble can be anything in your life, from a medical diagnosis to something that you're ashamed of in your past. And if God is saying something about that pile of rubble, you've got to find the grace and the faith within you to believe and speak to that pile of rubble. Amen. That's what I want to do. Do you got any piles of rubbles in your life you need to speak to today? Is there anything in your life that's driving you nuts and maybe you're feeling anxious over? Maybe it's your past. Maybe it's something in your present. Maybe it's a fearful thing about the future. But if it's something you're trying to avoid, you just don't want to think about, could you turn and face that pile of rubble today and speak the word of God over it? Are you convinced that you're a child of God enough that God's going to come in like a flood and just overwhelm that situation? If you're not convinced, then you're here today for that reason, because God wants to fill you with faith and grace and that favor of God so that you can speak to the pile of rubble in your life. Amen. You know, in Proverbs 18:21, it says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And I look at that, and I think it's amazing that out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks. What we believe, our mouth speaks. What we believe, our mouth speaks. And in James chapter 3, if you turned and looked at that, in James chapter 3, well, let's go there. How many of you know James chapter 3 pretty well? It's a popular section of Scripture, that's for sure. There it is. And in James chapter 3, it talks about the tongue, and it classifies it in such a way that really gives us some vivid imagery. It says, verse 1 of chapter 3, it says, let not many of you become teachers, my brothers, knowing that as such we're going to incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone doesn't stumble in what he says, well, he's just perfect, able to bridle the whole body as well. It's like if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they may obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Behold, even ships at sea, although they're so great and driven by strong winds, they're still directed by a very small rudder. Hear the words of the Lord today, church. They're still directed by a very small rudder. Wherever the inclination of the pilot desires, so also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold, how great that tongue is, isn't it? It's almost like God has given you something that you can never tame or control, and it's in your mouth. It's your tongue, what you speak. It's not the tongue that makes it. It's what you believe in your heart that makes that tongue go. It's where the inclination is of the pilot. You're the pilot. What do you really believe and what do you meditate on? It's going to bubble up and it will come out. And then the reality is you can do one of two things at any given moment. You can start a wildfire or you could fuel the furnace that will steam engine right through whatever it is that you're doing in life. Hear what I'm saying. There's two things that God set out before us. It's almost like the power of having the blessing of God in your life really is pointing right to what you do with this and what do you believe in here. What do you talk about? What do you meditate on? What's bubbling out of you? What is the random idle word that drops here or there about a situation or a thing that's going on in your life? It shows you what you believe and where your heart is at. What are you not talking about that you should be talking about? It shows you where your heart's at. I don't know if you caught that one yet. Shake yourself. Everybody do this real quick. Shake yourself. Now shift it. Shift it in this way. It's not always just what you're saying. It's something that you're not saying too. Because there's a lot of times we're silent when we shouldn't be. A lot of times we're not talking about the things we need to be talking about. And I'll tell you, if it's about God and praising my God, He tells me I better not be silent. Why? Because then someone else is going to fill my job. A rock. If I'm silent about God, then rocks are going to take my position, and that's not going to happen. So in our lives, you in this room today, we have a choice. You're going to start one of two fires in your life every day. You're going to start one of two fires. You're going to start a wildfire. And the funny thing about wildfires is they're powerful, they're unpredictable, and they're very destructive, and they go all over. They call them wildfires. In California, there'd be times where entire sections of the mountains would be covered in smoke, and you couldn't even go and visit your cabin or do whatever. Why? Because the smoke was such a danger. And in fact, the whole valley was so dry, they would just say, now you can't even have fireplaces in your house anymore. We just want you to have, like what we have in our basement, an illuminary fireplace. You just turn it on and the light bulbs go. And it looks kind of cheesy, but hey, there's a heating element, so you turn on the heating element too. It's fake on top of fake with a dash of cheesy. And so that wildfire idea is they're powerful, unpredictable, and very, very destructive. But it's the same element that is in a steam engine. It's the same element that's in the steam engine. And the choice for you is, what do you want in your life? Do you want that destructive wildfire? Then just don't care about how you rein in your tongue. Don't care about where you take your tongue to talk about whatever you talk about. Then you're going to get just wildfires. But if you're going to be a wise person and partner with God, you're going to put a bit and a bridle on that tongue. You're going to treat it like a rudder of a big ship, and you will tell your tongue what to talk about, and this is how you do it. It's not mind over matter. It's heart over mind. You start meditating and chewing on the Word of God. You start filling your heart up with the Spirit of God and transform your heart. It will transform the way you think, and it will transform the way you speak. That's the only way you're going to have a lasting change in the way you talk. You've got to have a heart change about yourself and about other people. You have to have a heart change about enemies. You have to feel differently on the inside about those people who did you dirty, who did you wrong. You have to be able to genuinely love them from the inside out before you ever tell your tongue how to talk about them. If you do it in the reverse, you're just mind over matter. You're no different than all the New Agers out there. If you're going to be a born-again king or son of the king, then you've got to have a heart change. Amen? And so we begin to choose to do what God wants us to do and put the fire in the firebox of that big steam engine of your life, and you will go to where God is pointing you. You really will. That's powerful. You begin to be able to speak to the pile of rubbles in your life and things like that. And here's what I say. Zerubbabel in Zechariah 4:10, if you were to go back into there, Zechariah 4:10, it tells us in just a little small seed form that he was exercising that powerful tongue thing. He was telling everybody in the world, don't you despise what God is doing. Don't you despise small beginnings. Don't you despise a little bit of trickle of the Holy Spirit in our life, or this little break or that little break. You got to make big about that stuff. Because the tendency is we criticize things before they're even given a chance. Isn't it true? Oh, come on, church. Come on. Don't. I'm preaching better than you're amening. That's just it. So what he's saying is do not despise small beginnings. Don't despise what God's doing in your life. Don't care if it's taken 20 years. Don't despise it. And then he goes on and it says in that same chapter, you'll read it, Zerubbabel had the power to finish what God told him to start. Now, what does that mean? What good is a power of blessing in your life if you never accomplish it, if you never finish it and reach your goal? If that's what you've experienced in your life, just goal after goal that you've never hit, then what you have is a heart condition of sadness and depression, because in your soul, you're very, very sad because you never see the end of the rainbow with the pot of gold. You never get the fullness of what you've expected. There's just disappointment about disappointment, and that just grieves your heart. Disappointed in relationships. I never have a relationship work. I'm disappointed in jobs. I never get the right job. I'm disappointed about this. I'm disappointed when I look in the mirror because I never change. We can be disappointed about a lot of stuff. Here's the thing. You need the anointing and the power of God like Zerubbabel had to both be that blessing and to do what God's called you to do. He had that anointing. That comes from God. It doesn't come from me. It doesn't come from you just thinking it. You've got to get that anointing from the Holy Spirit. My prayer for you today, my prayer for me, my prayer for us as a church and for this city is don't you back down from what God's called you to do. Stand up in your life, speak to the piles of rubble in your life, let your heart chew on good fat of God, that good juicy fat of God, and let it fill you up with all the flavor of heaven. And I want you to just, it so permeate your soul that everything that comes out of your mouth is exactly what God would want you to say about that situation or that person or yourself. Oh, praise God. Would you stand this morning? I so desperately want us to partner with God every single day in our life. And so let's maybe exercise that. There's this song that we sing. It's Set a Fire. That one. Are you singing that one? Maybe you need to start singing. I don't know, because I don't even know the right key. Well, how's it go?
1 second. Set a fire down.
She sounds better singing it than I do. It's good. Come down. We're going to pray for you. I suddenly need to lay hands on you in Jesus' name. So this is the joy. I want to set a fire in your soul. That's not me speaking. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to do something in your heart and your life. Do you believe today that God can kindle the fire in your belly? The fire of the Holy Spirit in your belly, so that it changes the way you talk. Changes the way you talk about yourself and others and everything around you. Changes the way you think about everything so that you can be that guy who stands and speaks to piles of rubble and see God's Spirit move them. I really believe that God can do that. So I want you to just think for a second. What's God been sharing to you this morning?
What's the Lord highlighted in your heart today as I spoke? If there's something that the Lord is highlighting to you, that God's been speaking to you, I don't know what that is, but you and the Lord know that. If there's something that God's been speaking to you, you can't let that word drop to the ground today. I want you to act on it. And how I want you to act on it is I want you to leave your chair and I want you to come down here to the altar, and I'm going to agree with what the Lord has spoken to you, and we're going to see God do a mighty thing in your heart and your mind. It's just a quiet time between you and the Lord. Nothing dramatic has to happen. That's not what I'm saying, but I want there to be an action that you can do. What's the Lord speaking to you? Is there anything He's impressed upon your heart? Come down and let's just stay in this attitude of reflecting and letting the Lord speak and do. Okay, as you're thinking about that, Gary's going to share a little bit.
Yeah, I just, man, this morning God just would not let me alone. At home. And He's given me exactly what Pastor had here. And I shared it with the prayer group in there. I said, I think God gave me a message today for the people, for each one of us. And boy, it just fit in. I couldn't hardly sit still back there. But I had a tooth extracted Friday. And I'm supposed to be sitting down and taking it easy because, you know, it's got a clog and all that stuff. But when the Holy Spirit comes on you, it just moves you. It moves you. And this is the word that God gave me this morning, and it was about the fire. About we are like a car, but we need an engine. The church needs an engine. The engine is the Holy Spirit. Each one of us need the Holy Spirit to move the car, to move us. We can't do it unless we understand who the Holy Spirit is. And He says, do you know me? The Holy Spirit said to me, do you really know me? Because you can't do anything without me. Just like that scripture in Zechariah. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit. And this is what the word was that He gave me this morning. I told Karen, I says, honey, I don't know, God just speaking to me here. He says, I have been sent that you may know and understand the one who sent me. That's talking about the Holy Spirit. The Heavenly Father in Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit. I have been sent that you may know and understand the one who sent me. Without me, you cannot please God. Do you really, really understand who I am? Without me, you cannot demonstrate God's glory, power, love, joy, peace, and light. Don't put me aside any longer. Come longing and seeking me, for I am the only one who can fill you to overflowing. Lay aside your desires and wants. You must surrender all to me to experience me and my fullness. I'm looking for them who will empty themselves so I can take over and live through you and through the church. I am the torch and the flame of God's holiness and light and purity. I have been sent as part of God's plan for each one of you. So unless you invite me to be in your life and take ownership, you will not experience the abundant life. I am the comforter, the great teacher, and the guide for your every step.
Thank you. Thank you, Gary, because what we're going to do right now, and I want you to stay down, I want you to pray with people too. Let's just invite the Holy Spirit into our lives.
Set a fire down in our soul that it can't contain and we can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more.
Sing it out.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain.
Oh, Holy Spirit, we just ask you right now to come and flood our hearts and our minds in this place. We open up our hearts to you, Lord. We say anything and everything that would hinder you, we just discard it right now by the blood of Jesus. Every sinful, shameful, yucky thing, Lord, we ask for you to wash it and purify it out of our lives right now. Scrub it out in Jesus' name. And we turn to you, Lord, right now in total trust and dependence upon you. And we ask for you to fill us with the anointing that we need to speak to mountains and tell them to be moved. To speak to the piles of rubbles in our lives and see them become flat and accomplish what you have purposed for us to do. We can't do it on our own, Lord Jesus. We need your fire. We need the fire of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord God, forgive us for trying to do it on our own. Today we partner with you. Today we partner with you. Praise you, Jesus. Now I ask for an increase of the anointing in every single person in this room. An increase of the anointing oil for joy, the oil for peace and gladness. Lord, the oil for strength in this room. Right now, if you need strength, you got to lift your hands. You got to say, oh, God, I need strength right now. Lord, I pray for a fresh strength in their hearts and their minds. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, we call on your name right now. Praise you, Jesus.
And I can't control. I want more.
Praise you, Jesus.
God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you.
I'm going to, we're going to keep the worship going, and if you're still down here, I'm going to come by and I'm going to pray with you. Gary will pray with you, so Kurt and Cindy, if there's a need that you have, come and share that with us. We're going to pray with you about that. Don't do it on your own. And but if you're not going to come down for that, then I just want to give you some freedom to cruise today, to be dismissed and enjoy the fellowship out there in the hall. So I just bless you in Jesus' name. I pray you go in the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit today and that the joy of the Lord permeates your home. In Jesus' name, I pray that. Amen. All right, you're dismissed. We'll see you on Wednesday as we get into the study of the life of David and change.